Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Numbers, and this is chapter 11. And let's all ask the Lord to, we're going to ask the Lord to anoint this service, but before this chapter, rather. And before we do, this chapter, the first part of it anyway, has to do with the people murmuring and complaining to Moses, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right. And, you know, it's just amazing. We had some people move into the church just the other day. They were broke on the street. She was guilty of stealing food so she could give it to her kids. They didn't have any money. We took them in, and so we had to, Armful of Help came up with $1,500 to pay for an attorney to get her out of going to prison. And so we hired Roy Jean in Fort Smith. And now she doesn't really have to appear, but she's going to have to pay a $1,000 fine. And the church was going to take care of that for her, her and her husband. And then when they moved into the church and they started murmuring and complaining. They asked the man if he... What kind of work does he do? Because, you know, everybody works around here and keeps the place up and so on. He says, none. And then she was told to do something to go to church, and then she wanted to take a couple of days off. And she said, oh, this, everything sucks after all these things that we did. So she's murmuring, complaining. Now, if you want to make friends with the dog, all you got to do is feed it. A dog will be your friend. Even a deer, you can lure a deer to you. A cow, cows, if they know you're the one that feeds them, you go out into the field with the hay and salt licks and oats for horses and everything. They'll come running right to you, and they'll be your friend. But there's some people, like this woman, and I've seen like hundreds of cases like this, actually thousands of them down through the past 40 years. We took people in that were in the gutters, and the Lord saved their souls, and they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then they started murmuring and complaining. They were eating. There was no more wrinkles in their bellies. Some of the people have gained as much as 50, 100, 100, and even 50 pounds since they've been in the church. And they were sick, and we'd have them, had them operated on. And some of them had birthmarks on their face. One of them had a birthmark on her face, a big black blotch there, and I had that removed. And she hated me for it because she, you know, because I knew that she had it there, I guess, and made mention of it when she was just a little girl. And so she just murmured and complained. I thought I was doing her a favor because I didn't think any girl, when she grows up, if she's a woman, that she'd like to have that big black blotch on her face. It was about the size of a baby's hand right on her chin and up on her face. And it's removed, and now it's she looks like a normal human being, as a matter of fact. I've been told that she's pretty. But here's these people. It's the same thing with God. They're not murmuring against me or anything. They're murmuring against God because God is the one that told me to do these things for people, and because I wouldn't do anything for people before I was saved. If I earn the money, it's mine. And if you come panhandling me on the street, I tell you, go get a job, bum. Okay, because I wouldn't spit on people like that before I was saved. But here's these people in Israel now. They were being beaten. Their baby boys were, they'd have to kill them when they were born. They ruled over them with rigor. They almost, some of them probably dropped dead from actually working so hard in the hot sun in Egypt. And then here, God, they cried out to God because they didn't want their children to be killed anymore, the boys. And the Lord sent a delivery in a supernatural way. He got a hold of Moses. from the burning bush and then sent him to deliver the people. And then here come all these miraculous plagues upon Egypt because Pharaoh wouldn't listen to what the Lord was telling Moses to tell him. And so God, finally the last one, he killed all their firstborn. That didn't acknowledge the blood on their doorposts and on their mantle. And they wouldn't acknowledge, which was symbolic of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world. And so all the Jews marked their doorposts and mantles with the blood of a lamb, symbolic of the Lamb of God, Jesus. And after that, they were delivered. They cast them out of Egypt, and then they started coming after them at the Red Sea. The whole army, Egyptian army, came after them. And God opened up the Red Sea for the Jews. And they walked across on dry land, and when the Egyptians followed them, the Egyptian army, the entire army, was drowned. God closed the waters in over them. And then they saw water come out of a rock, and poisoned water turn into sweet water. They saw kings fall beneath their feet. They saw the pillar of fire by night and the cloud, pillar of cloud during the day to keep them from being sunburned out on the wilderness in the desert. And now here they are getting food every morning, raining down from heaven on the ground, and now they're murmuring and complaining. And then people wonder why God let all of them die, or why he let them stay on the desert for 40, or the wilderness 40 years. I mean, if I was God, with my disposition and my hatred for people that are unthankful, I'm sure I would have not only waited for them to die, but I would have probably killed a whole bunch of them, like God wanted to do it. And there wouldn't have been anything that Moses could have said to me if I were God to prevent me from doing it. Because they're worse than dogs. Dogs would be very benevolent to anyone that did those things for them. And here they are out on the desert now, and the Lord goes before them and fights for them, and they're complaining. And people today, they have the kingdom of heaven after they're saved, and they're complaining about some things that they go through. Now, it's all right. Moses complained about the people because of their wickedness. But the Lord didn't kill Moses for that. But he did the Hebrew people because they were too much, some of them. Most of them. Only two of them got to go into the promised land. And even Moses begged and cried and pled with the Lord to please let him go into the promised land. But the Lord wouldn't let him because he told him it's not to, and he says, and don't ever bring up the subject again. You're going to die. Now, I'll let you go to the top of Mount Pisgah, and you can view the promised land from every angle. And then you're going to die up there. And people that want to die young, people that want to die young and go to hell and then the lake of fire, just keep complaining and murmuring. People should be satisfied when they have eternal life. People should be praising and thanking the Lord all the time. But, you know, when people get thrown out of the church where everything is, and then they find out that they have to pay bills, just that alone, most people, it drives them crazy because they say they can't make ends meet. Greg Siegel, when he was out there, he had a pretty good paying job, but he couldn't even afford furniture. He told me. And he'll listen to this tape. He said it was really rough. And then he had to pay a lot of his salary for babysitters to take care of his children. You know, went for that. But here, you know, in the church here, your bills are paid. You don't even worry about taking care of business, paying utility bills and everything. And that's all done. It just really makes me angry when people move into this church and they say, this church sucks. Or, what kind of work do you do? Well, I did this out in the world. Well, what kind of work would you like to do around the church? Nothing. Well, I had them escorted out of the church today. They were here for one whole day. And that's how much I go for murmuring and complaining. People, now they're back out on the streets. They dropped them off at the Salvation Army, who put them up for maybe a night if they have rooms for them. But they're not going to have a nice apartment like they had here. They said when they were hearing the Bible that they didn't really even want to. You could tell that they're not interested at all. Even though Shelley was saying, oh no, they're really gung-ho for the Lord. And everybody else was saying no. John Colbeck said no. His wife said no. That they're really murmurers and complainers. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you anoint this service, this chapter 11, Numbers, and Lord, that people will realize that God didn't bless these people for murmuring and complaining. They had to stay out in the wilderness for 40 years because of that. And Father, you killed many, many people for doing that. As a matter of fact, all of them dropped dead in the wilderness, millions of them, because of their murmurings. And people will say, well, what kind of a God is that? I'll tell you what kind of a God he is. He's the God that you're going to have to deal with and reckon with on the judgment, on Judgment Day. And he's the one that's going to sling your soul into hell whether you like it or not. And then he'll give you something to really murmur about and complain. You'll either get right with God on this side of eternity, or he's going to make you get into some place in the bowels of the earth where you'll be doing nothing but screaming your head off for mercy. And then you'll really have something to murmur and complain about. But it won't do you any good there, and it'll never let up. So, Lord, let everybody be warned and get some fear from you. So many people, these false theologians, say that fear means reverence. No, and the people fell on their faces at Mount Sinai when they heard you speaking from out of the fire and the smoke, and there was an earthquake that your voice was so powerful that it caused an earthquake, and they heard trumpet blasts, heavenly trumpet blasts. They didn't stand there and say, oh, we just reverence you, Lord. They all fell flat on their faces, and they were trembling. And the skin on the bones of people tremble. And there was a king in Babylon where the Lord made a hand appear and start writing on the plaster of the wall. It was just a hand. And that king, he didn't just reverence. It says that his knees smote together and he emptied himself in his pants. He needed a diaper change. And, of course, that night he died. He said, the Bible's in so many words, said, this night your soul is required of you for drinking out of holy vessels that were dedicated to the tabernacle of the Lord. They misuse the things of the Lord. And the people lie and they just don't, or they promise to do something. And then they don't do it. Like we have Mr. Johnson has a problem with that. And several others. Oh, yes, we're going to do it, sir. And it never gets done. That's lying. Well, it was just a little thing I promised I would do, and I didn't do it. It's no big deal. To you, it's not. But to the Lord, it's a lie. And no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And so it's obvious that you don't like the word of God. That it really makes you upset when you're being rebuked and reproved by the Word of God, and you just never will ever repent. You just think you're doing the most wonderful job in the world, and don't you know that the Lord can replace you with stones? God can make a human being out of dirt, a pile of sand. And he can take a stone to praise him and serve him. It's obvious some of the people that have been called in by the Lord are unthankful. And they get to thinking that if they don't get what they want, that this is evil, and they get it in for the people of the Lord. And they just think they should be running the church and everything should go their way. That isn't the way it works. It's obvious that you're not hearing the messages in the Word of God. And Lord God Almighty, I pray that everyone will have spiritual ears this evening to hear this message from the 11th chapter of Numbers, and that it'll feed their soul and that it'll cause them to repent from their complaining and be very thankful that they're saved, and stop it so that they can continue on to the end, that they might be saved in the end. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so this is chapter 11, verse 1.
The people complained to Moses. King James Version, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp.
Consume them. You know what consume means? Read the translation here.
Verse 1, translation. The people soon began to complain to the Lord about their hardships. And when the Lord heard them...
I mean, we all go through hardships, amen?
Amen.
The just and the unjust. And the just people have got a reward. They've got a consolation. The consolation prize is if we don't murmur and complain, we get to get into the kingdom of heaven. And the actual troubles that we go through, we're given the power to go through it. Jesus went through a lot more than we did, and we, in comparison to him, especially if we murmur and complain, are nothings. And the Lord has sent plenty to complain about you. I wouldn't be so worried about whether, you like the Lord or not. You better be worried about whether the Lord likes you or not, because he's sitting on a throne way up in the heavens, above the heavenlies. And you're down here on earth, and all you are is a piece of dirt filled with one breath from the Lord. And they can pull that breath or stop that little ball of mud in the middle of your chest called a heart. You're only one heartbeat away from eternity. And so you better wise up. You know that even monkeys are made out of the same dirt that you are. I'm not saying that we're monkeys, because monkeys are not able to repent. And they don't really even have consciences. They don't have any promise of God on their lives if they serve the Lord, and they're unable to serve the Lord because they don't understand. Then what?
When the Lord heard them, his anger blazed again against them.
Again. This is not the first time. Then what?
Fire from the Lord raged among them and destroyed the outskirts of the camp.
That means the people. There were quite a few of them. Then what? Go ahead.
King James Version, verse 2.
So some people don't think murmuring and complaining is a sin. Then why did God kill all these people? Why? If it's no big deal. It's no big deal to you, because you're not as strict as the Lord is. And you don't have the brain that he has. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. His brain doesn't think like your brain does. He doesn't think like your brain does. His ways are not like your ways. The thing that the Lord complains about are people that complain about what he's doing for them. And his anger blazes forth and he kills them. And what happens to their souls then? They go to hell. And then the lake of fire. And the Lord loves it. And he doesn't want to hear from them anymore. Just like he told Moses, I don't want to hear you ask anymore. Don't even bring up the subject. My ears are tuned out to you. You angered me. Don't anger the Lord. Because you can't fight him, little doopy. All right? Then what?
King James Version, verse 2. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Verse 3. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? Verse 5.
And these weasels never quit, do they?
Verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Verse 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Verse 7. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. Verse 8. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Verse 9. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent.
Just weeping. Just weeping, stinking slobs. Okay, then what?
And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also
so,
was...
I see, the Lord got angry. And anybody that's of the Lord gets angry. I couldn't stand that. I would just come down and say, here, I'll give you something to weep about and stuff him right into the pits. Okay, then what?
Moses also was displeased.
Well, I would think so.
And verse what? 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me?
All these murmurers and complainers.
Verse 12. Have I conceived all this people?
Have I begotten these people? Are these my children? My God, they're your children, not mine. Okay, then what?
Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Translation, verse 2 through 12. The people screamed to Moses for help, and when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. Verse 3. After that, the area was known as Taberah, quote, the place of burning, unquote, because fire from the Lord had burned among them there. Verse 4. Then the foreign rabble, who were traveling with the Israelites, began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. Quote, Oh, for some meat.
In other words, the foreigners, the Gentile rubbish or rabble, the Lord calls them. Amen?
Yeah.
They begin, that's why you're not supposed to hang out with those two people that are not saved. Because they'll complain, here these people that were called to the Lord start complaining along with them. Because their murmurings and complainings and their ways are contagious. Okay? Then what?
Quote, Oh, for some meat! Exclamation mark, unquote, they exclaimed. Verse 5, We remember all the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic that we wanted. Verse 6. But now our appetites are gone, and day after day we have nothing to eat but this manna! Exclamation mark. Verse 7. Manna looked like small coriander seeds, pale yellow in color. Verse 8.
See, they could have been over the promised land in 11 days, and they could have had all the cucumbers and everything that they wanted. But it's their own fault that they're out there on the desert, because God has to break people before they'll serve him. And so he knew that it would take that many years for them to get right, and they still didn't get right with the Lord. But the offspring, the young people, 20 years old and younger, did get right with the Lord, because they saw what the Lord had done to their mothers and dads and grandmas and grandpas. And so they wised up and kept their traps shut. Then what?
Verse 8. The people gathered it from the ground and made flour by grinding it with handmills or pounding it in mortars. Then they boiled it in a pot and made it into flat cakes. These cakes tasted like they had been cooked in olive oil. Verse 9.
But they didn't have any garlic or salt and pepper, okay? You know, or little onions in there. No sliced cucumbers in vinegar with onions in it mixed up. What is this anyway? Okay, then what else?
Verse 9. The manna came down on the camp with the dew during the night. Verse 10. And Moses heard all the families standing in front of their tents weeping, and the Lord became extremely angry.
At their weeping. You know, we had a couple come into our church. The woman was from Sweden, and she was married to this Jewish guy. And she says, "I don't know, Tony, one night, Donald wept." I said, "So, what do you weep about? Because he had to go through some persecution and join the club." Amen?
Amen.
Don't be murmuring about that. Glory in it that you're able to go through some of the stuff that the Lord went through. Just a little bit of it. Amen?
Amen.
Because what good would it be to be in heaven if you couldn't say, "Hey, I went through it too, Lord," you know? What fellowship would there be that if we don't partake in his sufferings, then we will not partake in his glory. Amen?
Amen.
And then what? The Bible says that.
Moses was also very aggravated. Verse 11, and Moses said to the Lord, quote, "Why are you treating me, your servant, so miserably? What did I do to deserve the burden of a people like this?" Verse 12, "Are they my children? Am I their father? Is that why you have told me to carry them in my arms like a nurse carries a baby to the land you swore to give their ancestors?" King James Version, verse 13. "Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat." Verse 14. "I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me." Verse 15. "And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight."
I'd rather die than put up with a bunch of weasels like that. Amen?
Amen.
That would just be too much to take, because I can't stand weepers. Weepers. Oh, my God, we have no meat. So be a vegetarian, you stinking weasel, you. Okay, what else?
"And let me not see my wretchedness." Verse 16. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee." Verse 17. "And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Verse 18. "And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat." Verse 19. "Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. Verse 20. "But even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you."
I'll just rub it right in your faces. Okay? Then see if you like it. It's like, you know, if you want a dog to stop killing chickens, you know, I come from a place in Montana, you know, and we know how to treat dogs like that. What you do is get a dead chicken and put a wire around to the chicken's neck and then strap it onto the dog's neck and then put the wire around its feet so he can't shake it loose. And that chicken rots on his neck. And that weasel dog will never touch another drumstick or a beak or anything. Okay, that's the best. This is what the Lord's doing here, is letting it come out of their nostrils, so that they'll stop complaining about dead birds. They wanted to eat a bunch of dead birds. The carcasses, they want to gnaw on the bones of dead birds. Okay, then what?
But even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? Verse 21. And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month.
Yeah, that's footmen, but that doesn't include the women and the children. So it's way up there. Okay, then what?
Verse 22. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them?
Or why didn't they kill some of the beef or the lambs and eat them instead of murmuring? Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, then what else?
Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Translation, verse 13 through 23. Where am I supposed to get meat for all these people? They keep complaining and saying, quote, Give us meat! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 14. I can't carry all these people by myself! Exclamation mark. The load is far too heavy! Exclamation mark. Verse 15. I'd rather you killed me than treat me like this. Please spare me this misery! Exclamation mark, unquote. Moses chooses 70 leaders. Verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, Summon before me 70 of the leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you.
And how did they find the leaders of Israel? They had the people, the ones in charge, go throughout all the different tribes to find the ones that are well high esteemed there and that keep the commandments. That's how they did it. Moses didn't go through there and weed through them and look at, oh, that guy's big, and oh, this one is muscular, we'll choose him. No, it isn't that way. They might have been some of them skinny and some of them with pot bellies that were really the strong ones. Amen? So that's how they chose them, as someone that keeps the commandments. Somebody might have been bald-headed or had too big of a nose. Okay, and then what else?
Verse 17. I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the spirit upon them also. They will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone. Verse 18. And tell the people to purify themselves, for tomorrow they will have meat to eat. Tell them, quote, The Lord has heard your whining and complaints. If only we had meat to eat! Exclamation mark. Surely we were better off in Egypt! Exclamation mark. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will have it to eat. And you will have to eat it. Verse 19. And it won't be just a day or two, or 5 or 10 or even 20. Verse 20. You will eat it for a whole month until you gag and are sick of it.
Right. Remember, there's no refrigeration out there on the desert. They have like birds falling all around them up clear up to their knees or their waist. Can you imagine all those fowls like that? And plucking millions of birds and the heat coming down on them. Hello? And then what else?
For you have rejected the Lord who is here among you, and you have complained to him, quote, Why did we ever leave Egypt? Unquote. Verse 21. But Moses said, quote, There are 600,000 foot soldiers here with me, and yet you promised them meat for a whole month! Exclamation mark. Verse 22. Even if we butchered all our flocks and herds, would that satisfy them? Even if we caught all the fish in the sea, would that be enough? Unquote. Verse 23. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, is there any limit to my power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true! Exclamation mark. Unquote.
Yeah, a lot of those Jews, you know, you go to a Jewish delicatessen and you've never seen desserts that big in your life. They've got these big gunboats, you know, for banana splits. The thing's got probably about a gallon and a half of ice cream in it, and then bananas all the way around it, and big goblets, and probably a half a pound of hot cocoa chocolate on it, and all kinds of things like that. And their sandwiches, there's about 2 inches of meat on it. They just love lots of food, amen, these Jews. God, most Gentiles, they make a sandwich, you can hardly see, you know, it's like, where's the beef, you know? Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. Verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and did not cease. Verse 26. But there remained 2 of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. Verse 27. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Verse 28. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. Verse 29. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them! Exclamation mark. Verse 30.
Yeah, I don't mind if other people are helping me prophesy and take care of these people's complaints. They stand here like a mile long every morning, or 5 miles long, and I love it. Okay, I don't want to shoulder the burden myself. Anybody that's really of the Lord doesn't want it. To take it all. They want to share the grief, okay? The murmuring and the complaining. Then what?
Verse 30. And Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side.
Okay, some people can walk for, you know, maybe 15, 20 miles, even 30 miles a day. So there's like 15 to 30 miles of quail. That way and this way, everywhere. It just clear up to their knees or waist. You want meat? Here. Amen? Lord, you know, overkill, you know? Okay, then what?
Round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth.
2 cubits high, that's, you know, up to your, beyond your waist. Okay, mangiare, amen? Mangiare. There's some meat for you. Then what?
Verse 32. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. Translation, verse 24 through 32.
That's a miracle, isn't it?
Amen.
Then the Lord, while they're eating it, he gives them a big swat right across the mouth and kills a bunch of them for doing it greedily. And they got the the bird meat in their between their teeth. Yeah, go ahead.
So Moses went out and reported the Lord's words to the people. Then he gathered the 70 leaders and stationed them around the tabernacle. Verse 25, and the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. He took some of the spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the 70 leaders. They prophesied as the spirit rested upon them, but that was the only time this happened. Verse 26, two men, Eldad and Medad, were still in the camp when the spirit rested upon them. They were listed among the leaders, but had not gone out to the tabernacle, so they prophesied there in the camp. Verse 27, a young man ran and reported to Moses, quote, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 28, Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' personal assistant since his youth, protested, quote, Moses, my master, make them stop, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 29, but Moses replied, quote, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 30, then Moses returned to the camp with the leaders of Israel. The Lord sends quail. Verse 31, now the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall into the camp and all around it, exclamation mark, for many miles in every direction from the camp. There were quail lying about 3 feet above the ground. Verse 32. So the people went out and caught quail all...
Can you imagine? 15 miles this way and 15 miles that way, 3 feet high, and they're standing in the midst of it. My, my. Then what?
So the people went out and caught quail all that day and throughout the night.
Some of the people in the church are only about 4 foot, you know, 8 tall, 4 foot 2. What about these kids, you know, that are not even 4 foot? Their parents probably had to hold them up so they didn't get smothered by the birds. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And all the next day, too. No one gathered less than 50 bushels, exclamation mark.
Do you know what a bushel basket looks like? 50 bushels. That's a lot. Okay, then what? That's enough. What are they going to do? Save it for 30 days? It'll be rotten by the time they get to eat it all. How many birds can you eat at one time, for God's sake? Okay, then what?
They spread the quail out all over the camp. King James Version, verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Verse 34, and he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Translation, verse 33, but while they were still eating the meat, the anger of the Lord blazed against the people, and he caused a severe plague to break out among them. Verse 34, so that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, quote, the graves of craving, unquote, because they buried the people there who had craved meat from Egypt. King James Version, verse 35. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. Translation, verse 35. From there the Israelites traveled to Hazeroth, where they stayed for some time.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 11 of Numbers, and now we've got some translation, commentary here.
11, verse 1 through 3. Instead of trusting God to take care of them, the people started to complain. This first complaint against God is just one of many during their wilderness travels. God reacted quickly and harshly to their murmuring, because it was seriously undermining the program of maturity. God had given to them a recovery program. Their complaining indicated their ingratitude, impatience, and lack of faith. The difficult process of going from Egyptian bondage to God's promised home in Canaan could only be accomplished if the people patiently trusted God to get them through. The same is true for us as we continue in the growing process. 11 verse 4 through 5. We are told here that a group of foreigners traveling with Israel began to complain as well. Notice that the complaints were then spread by the Israelites. This illustrates the importance of supportive company in the growth process. One of Satan's strategies to undermine our faith may be the negative attitudes and comments around us. We need to avoid spending time with those who drag us down and seek out people who build us up and strengthen us.
Right. These people just moved in. And we paid for their $1,500 attorney's fees, and they said, this place sucks. That complaint won them a quick exit out of the church, immediately. Because I don't want their complaint to catch on to people that are maybe saved, but they're not that bright. And they too would start complaining. So out and see. Out and see. Out of here. Okay. Then what?
11 verse 16. Hebrew, tent of meeting. 11 verse 24. Hebrew, tent. Also in 11 verse 26. 11 verse 31. Or there were quail 3 feet, 2 cubits, or 90 centimeters deep on the ground. 11 verse 10 through 15. When Moses complained angrily to God about his unpleasant circumstances, God didn't rebuke him. He evidently sympathized with his problem. God's response to Moses stands in stark contrast to the severe judgment he brought upon the Israelites for their complaints. God evidently saw that Moses' motives were pure and his faith genuine. Thus he responded to Moses' honest cry for help. God is never afraid of the anger we may feel about situations we face if they are against Satan. He expects our honesty, he expects our hatred toward Satan, and he expects us to go to him rather than to face off with the devil before we seek him for the way that it must be handled. He also has his Sanhedrin here on earth. He has his pastor here in this church. The Lord loves our honesty in prayers. Now reiterating some, 11 verse 1 through 35. This chapter contains 2 accounts of campsites that were remembered for their punishment of the Lord on the people. Taberah verses 1 through 3. And Kibroth Hatteava, verses 4 through 35. 11 verse 1. The complaint is generic. A hint at the issue may be contained in the reference that the punishment begins on the fringes of the camp rather than the center. If we assume that the people assigned to camp on the edges were complaining that they were exposed to greater dangers, the locale of the punishment makes sense. The fire of the Lord refers to God's manifested presence. See note on Leviticus 10:1. 11 verse 4 through 35. 2 issues are interwoven in this account. 1, the complaint of the people about the lack of meat. And 2, Moses' frustration with his responsibilities. Verses 4 through 10 report the people's complaint. Verses 11 through 23 report a conversation between the Lord and Moses, in which the Lord answers Moses' question about his leadership responsibilities, as well as the lack of meat. Verses 24 through 34 report the implementation of the answers to the 2 problems. 11 verse 4, quote, mixed multitude, unquote, refers either to non-Israelites who joined themselves to the camp at Exodus 12:38, or to Israelite riffraff, those governed by sensual appetite. The origin of the problem lies with them, but it soon spreads. Meat. According to Exodus 16:13, quails originally accompany the manna. Exodus 16:13, quote, "And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host," unquote. Apparently, the quails did not continue. It is also not clear why the people did not kill of their flocks and herds. Exodus 12:32-38. I believe it was because they were saving the animals for sacrifices. 11:6. Our whole being. The relationship between physical and non-physical aspects of humans is very close in Hebrew thought. Physical want generates emotional consequences. 11:7. Manna. See notes on Exodus 16:13-18 and verse 31. 11:15. The bitterness of Moses' complaint is reminiscent of similar complaints among the Old Testament figures Elijah, 1 Kings 19:4, Job 3:20-21, and Jonah 4:3. It is important to note that they did not consider their deaths to be their own prerogative. In all instances, God was gracious not to grant their petitions. 11:16-17. The elders are selected from those who are already functioning as leaders. The Spirit brings new authority for the exercise of their leadership. The passing of the Spirit from Moses to the 70 elders is an ordination for an official function, not a bestowal of charisma. 11:25. They prophesied. This is an unexpected consequence. It is unrelated to the leadership function of the 70 elders, for it was a one-time phenomenon. The prophesying may have been manifested either as a spirit-induced ecstasy or as an utterance, as in the case of Saul's prophesying in 1 Samuel chapter 10. On that occasion, Saul was anointed king, and the prophesying was a sign, 1 Samuel 10, 9-10. Which yielded no message or utterance. So here in chapter 11, prophesying appears to be a sign of the ordination of the 70 elders. 11:29. Joshua apparently wants to control. Though Eldad and Medad were legitimate elders, they were not present at the tabernacle. The Spirit is not confined to particular persons, but is free to rest upon whom he wills. This met with the approval of Moses, who desired a democratization of the Spirit and envisioned a nation of prophets. See Joel 2:28-32. 11:32. 10 omers was approximately 2,000 liters. 11:34. Kibroth Hateava means, quote, "graves of craving," unquote. Hateava refers to the introduction of the account in verse 4. 11:35. Hazeroth is somewhere north of Mount Sinai, verse 10, but south of the wilderness of Paran, 12:16.
That was the book of Numbers, chapter 11, and we'll be doing chapter 12 this evening, God willing. Until then, keep remembering all these things, think about them, because the Lord says to meditate on him day and night, and you'll have perfect peace in the sound mind, and you'll be like trees that cannot be uprooted. Think about it. Don't murmur, don't complain. Think of the vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Think of heaven, and keep the cross, the Spirit of God, in your mind, in your spirit, and throughout your entire being, because the cross is the same as the Spirit, and the Spirit is the same as the cross. God bless you, and praise the Lord.